previously on the Loyal Littles podcast.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Oh boy, that's a tough one. And I know this is like a Beatles versus Stones kind of thing. And I do love them both. However, I've spent a lot of time collecting replica lightsabers. I mean, my wife can't even, I have to hide them. Star Wars, I mean, I'm thousands of dollars into this lightsaber habit.
Wait, that's cool.
I was going to say this could be a bury the lead moment.
That's very
for
cool.
Sure.
Yeah, she's going to, no, don't delete it. No, she needs to know.
So do you have any collections that your collectibles, something like that, that Chuck here doesn't know about?
I mean, that's for me to know and you two maybe never find out.
Until the credit card bill comes.
Sure.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast.
On the WTFC Podcast Network.
Hey, Roxy.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Littles. We've got a Thursday show for you, Littles.
Sure do.
April 4th.
Here we are. 1 month till your birthday.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
So what's that, 4 months before your birthday? May, June, July. Oh, whoa, nailed that.
There you go. It's all math.
I didn't need to go there, Roxy. A month?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think after I hit last year's birthday, I think that's the threshold where you no longer look forward to it. I think that's
you
where.
You think so?
Yeah, I do, kind of. If you know, you know.
Oh,
but
no,
you know
Chuck.
What I'm saying. I don't know. Let's move on. we got emails. Jason in Burke, Virginia. I guess episode TBD.
Yeah, I think so.
We haven't had a Jason, right? We've
no.
just had a Mike. Mm-hmm. Mike, who's not even in Burke, Virginia anymore.
Not anymore.
But that's okay. He's Mike from Burke in our hearts.
Oh,
always.
Always.
He says, the highlight of episode 306 might have been you calling back to listen to the hold music. Yeah, we threw a little
you heard that, huh?
We threw a little Easter egg in there for you, Littles, if you happen to listen to the whole episode. In a similar vein, I once called the phone number on the mud flaps of a tanker truck to find out what they were hauling. Can you do that? I guess.
I mean, if there's a number there, yeah, why not?
Did you know that they transport liquid eggs in tanker trucks? Okay, Littles, let's pay attention. This could be information for life. I'm going to read that sentence again. Did you know that they transport liquid eggs in tanker trucks? Neither did I until I called. The person on the phone was nice enough to humor me with my questions. Okay, what I want to know is what kind of questions would you have about liquid eggs? Are these like, I don't even know what that is. Is that for like, to like.
What?
I don't know. Go, talk.
Okay, Littles, you just did a gesture that I'm like, wait, what?
I don't know what that is.
I wonder if he means if liquid eggs means, so at the store you can go to the egg section and they have, they're called egg beaters.
I thought we were going with like female eggs so you can like later in life have kids and stuff like where you know, that kind of.
Oh, you know, I don't know because.
Jason, you opened this box. You might have to write it back in here.
Yeah. I'm picturing egg beaters that you buy in the carton at the grocery store.
And I'm picturing. Eggs that...
Eggs pre-embryo.
Right.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Anyway,
reproductive eggs.
Maybe we should move on. Mm-hmm. He continues. It says, I learned of Virginia Coalition, episode 306, Steve Dawson's band, from the Tony Kornheiser show and put them in my regular listening rotation. I can't wait to finally see them in person at Wolf Trap on July 7th. Yes, don't forget, Littles, July 7th. They're called Virginia Coalition and the Pat McGee band's there too and a couple other bands too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to be a big
really
event. Wolf
time.
Trap. I love Wolf Trap.
I've never been.
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
Okay.
Really? You never played Wolf Trap?
No.
I thought you did.
I don't think so.
It's for the 518ers. It's a, like a replica of SPAC. The Saratoga Performing Arts Center, where the front half of it is indoors, and then the second half is on a lawn.
Oh,
so they're
cool.
like lawn seats, so you can picnic and all that stuff. So
yeah, nice.
So more to come on that a little bit later, and we'll, of course, update you throughout the spring and beginning of summer.
Yep.
Then we heard from episode 12. Hi, Chuck and Roxy. Sorry to be the corrections department. Do you? Really? But I think you missed an entire Ghostbusters film. The new one that's out now is a sequel to the 2021 Ghostbusters Afterlife. That's the one that picked up the franchise all these decades later with the original Ghostbusters playing their original roles as opposed to cameos in different roles in the Kristen Wiig, Kate McKinnon, Leslie Jones, Melissa McCarthy film.
Yeah.
Okay, now let me dissect this.
Right.
So are they saying that's the one we missed, or is that another one?
I think he's saying it's another one.
Okay, because that one I wanted nothing to do with.
Yeah.
I love those ladies.
Yeah,
I think they're
right.
all great actresses.
Yeah, right.
But I thought that was just a money grab
off
of the original, and that bothered me.
So it sounds like there was before that.
Yeah, we know how I am with revivals, even on Broadway, so I knew I wasn't going to like that movie.
Very critical.
Very critical. So we're saying that there was a different movie.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah, me
2021,
too.
2021. I totally... Well, that was right around pandemic and stuff. Well, just after the pandemic. So, yeah, I definitely missed that. Okay, so we're going to have to go back and see that maybe first before we go see this new one. Because I really want to see this new one. So we'll look into it. But I thought maybe he was referring to the one with Melissa McCarthy and all those people. Because that one I wanted nothing to do with.
Right.
So would you Google it real quick?
Yeah, Afterlife. No, I was just making sure that they weren't the same movie. Afterlife was in 2021.
Right, that's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right, well, we'll get to the bottom. It says, I haven't seen the new ones, but I must admit I'm intrigued, as are we. Definitely intrigued by that. All right, then we wanted to give a shout out. We've got to figure out what we're going to do, Roxy. There's got to be a way. Littles, let's put this to the Littles. We have Littles that do some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get in touch with Rob Culpine as well.
Yep.
Episode 17. And for those of you who don't know, he is the one that's in charge of the Tony Kornheiser store.
Yes.
Anyway, we need to figure out somehow. We know that to get merch for the Loyal Littles podcast, the best way to, not necessarily that we're trying to make money off of it or anything, but you order one shirt and you reproduce it.
Right.
Right. And then you try to sell as many as you can. Or give them away as prizes, whatever we want to do.
Sure.
The problem is that because of what we've started, we've created a monster here, which is great. I love it. But everyone wants
their
something.
Episode
they want something with their episode number.
Mm-hmm.
So you're only going to produce one of those. So the cost of that is not really cost effective to, you know, you're not going to mass produce it. I think that Littles get what I'm trying to say here. So it would be all individual orders.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So even with the jerseys, I really want to do the jerseys, but my gosh, then we'd have to do an order sent here. Then I'd have to send them all out individually and that would take forever. Yeah. I remember those days when Michael had to do that with the leftover TK stuff when they were transferring or they were coming out of the radio show into the podcast,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. I remember it was a nightmare. He was sitting printing labels out upstairs in the bedroom. I remember those stories. And I was thinking, that's all I keep thinking about.
Yeah,
is like,
right.
I definitely don't have time to do all that.
Right.
As much as I would love to have mm-hmm. all the Littles have a jersey with their number on it and
mm-hmm.
stuff. But we also kind of want jerseys with our logo on it and stuff like this too. I mean, Lee Gordon has a great jersey and it does say Loyal Littles Pod, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I'm saying? Like a jersey that we've created.
Right.
Does that make sense? So anyway, we saw the license plate a few months back.
Yeah.
Okay. We got a picture sent to us and it says, didn't get license plates, but I did get hats made to represent our episode. Signed the original Chuck and Roxy, LOL, episode 290. Now, that's Chuck Walsh, right?
Yes.
Chuck Walsh and his daughter.
Roxy. Yes.
Roxy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is great. They have these hats that say Chuck and Roxy episode or number 290.
Yeah.
Another great idea. I would love to get hats.
Absolutely.
You know, but it's like, again,
it's tricky because every order would be a customized order.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah,
so
we'd have to figure something out.
Like I said, we're going to get in touch with Rob. And
mm-hmm.
Rob was, we talked about this years ago, a couple years ago when we first started. We weren't sure if this was going to take off at all. And
right.
we were like, well, let's hold off on the merch because we don't want our apartment with 500 shirts and then, you know, it's that
mm-hmm.
kind of crazy. We don't have room for it.
Nope.
But anyway, we were seriously talking about that. And he actually had some thing where you could do a pre-order so that you don't know if you're going to put the order in until you get X amount of orders to make it worth it, something like that. So we'll figure out. But if other Littles have any ideas, we need to find a product that you can easily interchange
with
something.
A number.
So like something that you could Velcro on or so. I know that sounds insane, but I'm trying to think.
No, I mean, if you go on Etsy or even Amazon and stuff, they've got things that you can customize.
Something
it's
that we can mass produce.
Like, how do we?
And then slap the episode number sticker on or something. I don't know. Something like
mm-hmm.
that. We'll figure it out. But
mm-hmm.
anyway, then we heard from Eric Londergan, episode 4, Chuck and Roxy, my Mount Rushmore for Jake Gyllenhaal movies I have watched.
Oh, boy.
This is for Tiny Chuck.
Okay.
Brokeback Mountain.
Uh-huh.
The Good Girl.
Uh-huh.
Donnie Darko.
Uh-huh.
Source Code.
Huh.
How many of those have you heard of?
I mean, Brokeback Mountain.
That's
and
it.
I feel like I've heard of Donnie Darko.
I thought that was, I'm thinking like Darkwing Duck or something.
Maybe.
That's what I thought of. Yeah, I don't know any. I know I haven't seen Brokeback. I wanted to see Brokeback Mountain
uh-huh.
that really bad, but I was on tour when that came out and we just didn't have time to go see it and I never saw it. So yeah, I don't know these other ones. He then says he's done other acclaimed movies that I have not seen. So Source Code probably doesn't belong, but I like time travel films. We might like that because we love time travel. We love time travel stuff. But ask Sid, the expert, for her top four.
Ah.
Eric Lonergan, episode four. Now, we did that. She actually wrote and said, I don't pay too much attention to him as an actor, but I would do Brokeback and Donnie Darko as my top two for sure. As far as a top four, I would throw October Sky in only because it's one of the first films I saw him in. Maybe Brothers or Southpaw, just because those roles show his range a bit more. But those other two options are good ones, too.
Huh.
Well, that's more information than I ever would have
had.
So thank you, Sid, for that.
October Sky. Isn't that the...
Yes, I made you watch that.
About the miners,
hold on. Let's give Chuck some credit here.
And
that's
the
one
ship?
I forced you to watch. Yes, that's the one about the kids who with the rocket ship, but the dad's hometown, miners. That's what you're supposed to do in life, blah, 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 blah.
Yes, right.
Yes, they enter the science contest. Mm-hmm. Right. It's a great movie.
Oh, it is.
I saw it in the movie theater when it came out.
I forgot that he was in it, so
I did
not
too.
Very memorable to
so
me.
So he's a kid in that then, I guess. Was he one of the kids?
Maybe.
I don't even remember who he was in that.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so... What do I know? I thought he was all right, guys. You know, so I don't know who the hell that is. So anyway, real quick before we get to our Meet the Littles guests, we hope everyone had a very happy Easter.
Yes.
Passover, all that stuff, you know, if you celebrate.
Yep.
And something came up at Easter dinner, and I feel like we need to talk about
Uh-oh.
It.
Uh-oh.
Because this should go on our list of over-under questions,
I think.
Because this was weird, because how long have we been married, Roxy? I know I shouldn't be asking you that. But it's been
almost
3 years.
3 years.
All right. Oh, that's right. Because leather's coming up.
Right.
Apparently.
Right.
Okay. So we went up to mom and dad's.
Yep.
So we went up to your nephew was there.
Yep.
And brother and sister-in-law.
Yep.
And who was setting the table? I guess you were setting the table.
Yeah.
Okay. And you put the napkin on the wrong side. And I was like, what's going on? Like, what are you doing?
No, I put it on the correct side.
No, you put it on the wrong. All right. Here we go. Littles, what say you? Napkins go on the left or the right? Now, I know there's probably some website we can look up and, you know, there's that whole etiquette stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which fork, which spoon, which knife you use and which order.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you go from out in, I think is
outside
the...
Outside to inside,
something like that. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just regular, everyday, you're setting the table for dinner. I'm not talking about a dinner party. I'm not talking about,
you
know...
You're not trying to be fancy.
Yeah,
you're just
not
trying
fancy.
To make sure everything is on the table.
No,
so
you're
you
having,
can eat.
Like, burgers and
right.
fries and a vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing fancy. And you just set the table.
Yep.
Now, you're telling me... I did not know this.
Always on the right.
It's the left.
It's the right, Jeff.
Now, I could see if you are left-handed and you thought it was the right, but you're not. You're right-handed. I think it goes on the left. Now, wait. Hear me out, and then I'll let you read. I'll let you look. No, because seriously, because something else came up that you said, oh, I know. I always set it on the left for you.
Yeah.
Because
you never noticed that?
Because you put it on the right side. So why would I notice anything's weird? But you're telling me when you set the table at dinner for us,
you
here. Put yours on the right and mine on the left?
Yeah.
I have never noticed that.
Really?
Never noticed
well,
that.
Well, because I noticed and I figured this might be another over-under situation. I'm not going to cause a stink about it.
You're adaptable on
I'm
this.
Adaptable. I figured out what you prefer, so I just like put it there for you. But
well,
I prefer
all,
the other way, so I do it that
first
way.
First of all, Littles, could I have married someone better? I mean, that's so sweet. That's so sweet. But no, Roxy, I never noticed that. So... What about the times? Because I do set the table a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you just leave it on the left?
Yeah.
Or do you move it subtly without me knowing?
I think I move it subtly. As soon as I need to use the napkin, I then put it on the right side. The correct side. And my side. <Let's>, Roxy's side.
Let's get away with the correctness of this. Littles, I'm floored. I did not know this. I never knew this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Chuck. Sneaky, pretty sneaky,
now,
sis.
Now, why do you say, and you threw it out there, the correct side,
uh-huh.
which I disagree with, obviously. It's like the over-under. I think that we might need to start adding this to our query of questions here. Why is that just because that's how you grew up? Did you read this somewhere? Can you prove it to me?
It's definitely
And I'm not like I said, I'm not talking about the fancy schmancy dinner
No,
parties.
Right, okay, right. It's definitely how I grew up.
Okay.
And for some reason, it just makes more sense. Although you're right, I don't know how someone who's a left-handed person would feel.
Now, we also started discussing this at the dinner, and your brother agreed with me on one thing. Now, you also, this is part B of this equation, you put the fork and knife together on the napkin.
Yeah.
Okay, see, I don't do that. I put the fork on the napkin on the right side, the correct side, the left side. And then I put the knife on the other side of the plate. Uh-huh. You know, it's like that famous picture when you're ready to eat and you pick one in each hand bang them on the table. I'm ready to eat. Yeah. So that's what I envision. And also, you're going to put one. And usually, if you're right-handed, you cut with your right hand. Mm-hmm. So the knife goes on the right side. Mm-hmm. Fork goes on the left side. That's why. That's me making my case here.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Yeah.
To cut things.
I see meat,
or it doesn't have to be meat. It can be whatever. You can cut pasta. You can cut whatever.
Uh-huh.
So that's my reasoning, I think. Now, that has nothing to do with a napkin, but I would never, that's insane, to put the fork on the left with no napkin and the knife on the right with the napkin. That's,
I'm thinking about it now. I think for me, it might be a, not cleanliness, or a sanitary situation in my brain, even though I know that typically you wash the table before you set it. What's so the that? Table should technically be clean, but there's something about putting the utensils on a napkin to keep them from getting contaminated.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I don't know. Okay. And I know that that's probably a huge stretch, but I think that's,
okay,
thinking
that'll
about it now,
almost
I
buy
feel
it.
Like I that's why I do that.
Okay. I'll buy that, but I am going to also say, though, it still goes on the left, not the right.
Goes on the right.
Goes on the left.
Goes on
All
the
right.
right.
Littles, what say you? Maybe there's some documentation. We'll have to Google it. I don't know. But let's get to our great Meet the Littles guest. Happy Easter. Other than that, it went well.
It was great.
It was
a great
weekend.
Good weekend. Yeah.
Although we just spent 10 minutes on that. I was floored. I was floored to see. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I was like, and this is the first I've noticed it.
Yeah.
So what else do we have?
I don't know.
Is this up there with you should have known before you got married? I don't think this.
Isn't a deal breaker.
And I don't think this is anywhere near the toilet paper. Like, this is something
really?
I think I could be adaptable with. I think it's wrong, but I think I could be adaptable to it.
So then you can't be adaptable.
No, just because I think it, no, because you think over's wrong,
I mean,
but you're adaptable.
I mean, I think I'm right, but.
Well, okay, but, all right. Anyway,
I'm not
going to
rub it in your face.
All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with.
Meet the Littles.
Hi, I'm Tim Wildsmith, and I'm a loyal Little.
And I'm Becca Wildsmith, and I'm not a loyal Little.
She also drives a Subaru. And you're listening to the Loyal Littles Podcast.
On the WTFC Podcast Network.
We are being played in this episode by Jan Close, and this song is called Surrender off his new album entitled the same, Surrender. Now, if you like what you hear, the best place to find all his stuff is over on his website, and that's just janklose.com. That is JANNKLOSE.com. We'll make sure we put all that in the show notes, but the most important thing is you will hear the full song, Surrender by Jan Close at the end of the podcast.
I'm thinking the worst, but I still keep running. Every moment magnified, I could fall or fly. I surrender, 'cause even the darkest night.
All you loyal Littles, it's now time to
meet the Littles.
And Roxy.
Chuck.
How much freaking fun is this going to be?
Oh, I'm already having a blast.
We've already been having a ton of fun off air, obviously.
A lot of connections.
He's one of the most forgiving guests we've had. We've had to set the board back to zero like 8 times.
Yep.
I don't know what's going on with this stupid computer, but let's get him in here before it breaks down again. Please welcome to the podcast, Harry Hawkins. Hey, Harry, how's it going?
Great, guys. How are you? Very excited to be here, and thank you for having me.
Oh, we're really glad that you could do this.
Now, the first thing we want you to do, if you're willing to do it, is can you say your full name?
Oh, gosh, my mother would, my mother is laughing somewhere.
You don't have to.
My full name is Henry Robinson Stokes Hawkins.
That's amazing. How much fun is that?
So great.
That's good. But we call you Harry.
It's very English. It's very, very, very English.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great, though. Well, listen, we've just been talking off air a little bit. It's so funny. I saw your Facebook page. I saw the picture of you on the PTI set with Tony and Wilbon. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, this guy must have interned or something like that. It goes way beyond that, Littles. Yeah. We're in for a treat.
Yes.
Harry, what we like to do is meet you. Take us all the way back. Introduce yourself to all the loyal Littles. Tell us a little something about yourself.
Yeah. So I grew up in D.C. I had parents who worked in the political world. And one summer I needed a job. So I actually showed up to caddy at Columbia Country Club. I didn't know anything about golf. I knew that if you were a good caddy, you might be able to get some scholarship money for college and make enough money to be able to buy a new Xbox or what have you.
The important things.
Yes. And I showed up at Columbia and sat on the bench and very slowly went from 3 bags a week to 7 bags a week to 14 bags a week. And one summer afternoon, the caddy master gave me Tony's bag. And I caddied for Tony and a few of his friends who he's mentioned on the pod before, guys he plays with at Columbia or played with at Columbia quite regularly. And I kept caddying Columbia all throughout high school, during college, and the summer after my junior year at Trinity, which is where I went to college, I applied for an internship at PTI, didn't get it, but was told that if I got another internship and then came back, I would have a better chance of getting accepted to intern after I graduated.
Okay, can we pause for a second? Can we pause?
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious. I guess we could just wait and go back, but I'm just dying to know. When he said, okay, you have this guy, Tony Corn, did you have any idea who he was? Or he was just some old guy?
Oh, no, I knew exactly who he was.
Oh, you did?
So
okay.
As I said to you guys a little bit off air, I have been reading Tony's work since I was 6 years old in the Washington Post. My dad's a journalist, so every morning when the Washington Post sports page came, I would immediately flip to, you know, the sports section. I would read it before I went off to school. Mm. And of course, you know, in the mid-2000s, Tony and Mike, but particularly Tony, were the dominant column in the Washington Post in the sports section.
Right.
He wrote, you know, 3 or 4 columns a week. So I absolutely knew who he was. A funny story, when I first really learned what March Madness was, everyone would do their brackets in middle school, and I would just write in Tony's bracket. Like, I would see the, like, annotated bracket that he did in the Washington Post that came out on that Monday morning, and I would just fill in his picks on my bracket and then take it to school and say it was my bracket.
Nice. Nice. Well, it could be.
I mean, I didn't write in Vermont over Duke because Vermont is one of the greatest college basketball programs in history. As Tony likes to say.
Right.
But I would pick the same upsets. And
right.
In fact, the one year I didn't do that, which was my 8th grade year, I picked Oklahoma State to win the whole thing. And they were a 2 seed. Mm-hmm. And they lost in the first round.
No. Oh. So, that's the worst. I hate when that happens.
Yeah. You Kentucky'd that learned. One.
So to answer your question more directly, yes, I knew exactly who Tony was. The caddy master knew that I was a huge sports head. Knew that, you know, at that point, my goal was to be a newspaper columnist. My goal was to write sports in a, you know, a major national newspaper. So I knew exactly who Tony was. I was incredibly awestruck.
I was going to say, did you have to go change your underwear before you started? Like,
what was
did not have to change my underwear, but definitely sweat through my polo shirt a little bit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And looking back on it in retrospect, I'm extremely grateful that caddy master gave me Tony's bag that day.
Now,
yeah, sure.
Was this like, I don't mean to be hounding on this, but I've got a great follow-up question that if I don't ask, the Littles will hate me forever. But first, let's go. Is this like you and Judge Smells, like when you're trying to pick his brain, but he's like, well, the world needs ditch diggers too, son. How did that go down?
It was a little bit like that, to be honest, the first couple of times I caddied for him. Like, it was a lot like, you know, some of the emails he reads that are like, you know, I get 1,500 emails like this every day about, hey, you know, can you help me? And my advice is, well, my job doesn't exist anymore. It was a little bit like that to start. But, I mean, he was my first regular. like he was the first guy who would semi-request me, or if he saw me on the benches, he would ask if I was available. Like he was quite literally one of the people who helped me. You know, I mean, in any caddy yard, right, there are professional caddies, not just snot-nosed high schoolers and college kids.
Right.
And having him sort of like say that I could be his caddy was like one of the first moments where I kind of felt like I had felt that it was something that I wasn't just doing, felt that it was something that I was actually kind of good at.
Yeah.
Which was certainly a great feeling.
Wow.
That's so cool.
But it took me a while to tell him. Like, I didn't just, you know, on the second fairway say, so Mr. Kornheiser, I really want to work for ESPN. Like, right. it took a little while.
Sure. Well, that's why I was wondering. I didn't realize you had then immediately, well, or soon after, gotten to caddy for him again a couple times. Mm-hmm. That's great. And then, of course, the follow-up, the last question I have to ask is, do you remember how he shot that day?
He shot a lot better than he talks about shooting now. I mean, when I was carrying his bag, he would regularly probably shoot around the 90s.
Wow.
I mean, he had blow up holes like everyone does.
Yeah, of course.
He probably shot around 90.
That's nice. Great. Well, thank you for, you know,
indulging
my stupidity. Yeah. So let's get back to
you. No, and I have one other thing quick that I just want to tell you guys this. And I can tell you this story now, or I can tell it later if you want. But I have a very funny story of the Monday after I caddied for him once. He brought me up on the show, and I was interning on Capitol Hill at the time, and I didn't know the show existed, so I didn't listen to it, and I got about 50 emails from my other mentors in D.C. saying that I was talked about. So I can tell that story now.
Let's tease it. We'll do that right after the break. Is that okay? Let's get back to you. So you went to Trinity, you said, college, right?
Yeah, I went to Trinity College in Hartford. I went away to boarding school in Massachusetts. I went to Bullis until eighth grade and was kind of looking for something different. And my family was based in the Northeast. Like, my parents were the first generation of my family to not live in the Northeast in quite some time. So going away to a boarding school was something that they had always thought for me, and I didn't really know if I wanted to do it. But I did eventually go up to boarding school, and then I enrolled at Trinity College in Hartford.
And then, so you did the first internship. Where was that?
Yeah, so a little bit more backstory. One of the reasons I was a political science major was because it just focused on writing, and it enabled me to focus on what I wanted to focus on outside of the classroom, which for the first couple of years I was at Trinity was writing about hockey. Like, I founded a hockey blog in the glory days of the Capitals. So I would literally write game stories and recaps and game previews from my dorm room. And the fact that I was in a major that wasn't super time intensive when it came to labs or engineering or math, it enabled me to focus on that. I got hired by a bigger blog, and then I got an internship with USA Today the summer after my junior year of college.
Wow.
Cool.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I guess so that went well, and that's how that led to PTI?
Yeah. So I had the internship with USA Today. I had a couple opportunities to freelance for them when I was a senior in college, you know, like if they needed somebody to go up to Gamble Pavilion, you know, that was during the start of the Breanna Stewart era. Mm-hmm. And my freshman year at Trinity, UConn won a national championship. That was the year I think they were an 8 seed. I think that was the Cardiac Kemba year, but my memory's not that good. And then when I would come home, the Capitals were still very good. So if USA Today needed a spot story from, it was Verizon Center then, they would email me. And if I were in town, I would go out to Capital One and write a story and go home and keep being a college kid.
Wow. And so what did you do at PTI, basically?
I was a Cliffy. So I would do everything from, you know, I mean, the biggest thing at PTI with, you know, in terms of being an intern is they don't want you to just sit there. If you kind of just sit in the corner and don't say anything, then Kelleher and Eric and Matt Iuano, who was the director of the internship program, would kind of say, hey, speak up. Luckily for me, I'm very talkative. So keeping quiet was never really in my DNA once I sort of met everybody and learned who everyone was. So I pitched a lot of ideas. I would go get lunch every day. Bonnie would order lunch from a restaurant, which I forget what it is now. And it was always Tony's lunch because Tony was always in first. Mike would come in a little bit later. Tony would come in. It was in the summer, so it was usually after playing a round of golf at Columbia. He would come in and eat lunch and sit in his office and write the happies, write the show. Yeah. And then I was in charge of also finding video that was like hard to find. So if there was a, you know, like I remember very vividly one of the anniversaries that I pitched was the Cleveland Indians 10-cent beer night, which is like an infamous MLB yes, game where right. the Indians offered 10-cent beers and it basically descended into a riot. And Kelleher was like, we'll do it, but you have to find the video, right? Mm. Like no pictures, you have to find the video. And Kelleher's a really good producer and he's been working at ESPN for 30 years. So he knows the video exists, right? So it's a test of, you know, how far are you willing to go to find the video?
Right, right.
So I found the video and we did it. So I would do, I mean, I was production and research. So I would help Reale sometimes with fact checks. You know, Reale would have one too many things on his plate and he would say, Harry, can you look and double check for me how many home runs Ryan Zimmerman has hit this year? And I would go check that.
Yeah.
Or what have you. It was also during the World Cup that year. Like one of my last shows was after Germany beat Brazil 7-1 in the semifinals. The newsroom that day when Kelleher said we had to lead with soccer was definitely an interesting experience.
Right. Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. And we've had like two or three other interns.
Yeah. Bobby Gottfried. Yeah.
Bobby Gottfried's been on and a couple other guys that have interned. And I always just I love the stories. And
oh, I know.
And we were very Bonnie, very graciously let us sit in on a PTI recording last summer.
Yep.
And it's so funny when you said that because we're all sitting there like, where's Wilbon?
Yeah,
where's Wilbon?
Is he going to make it?
Is he going to make it?
We're starting in 5 minutes.
It's just funny how you said that. Yeah, Wilbon's always in last.
Yep.
So anyway, well, I know the littles are right now saying, shut up, let's get to the story. So why don't we take a quick break? We'll get back to your story, but we have a bunch of other questions. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with
Meet the Littles.
This is the Loyal Littles Podcast with Chuck and Roxy.
Grab that paste! Give the tube a squeeze! Plug in your quip! Avoid the gum disease! When it comes to brushing teeth, Crest or Colgate? Ask everyone you meet. Crest or Colgate? Choose a side and take a seat. Crest or Colgate? Now brush it! Brush your teeth! Brush them up! Brush them straight! Control your tartar! It's not too late to brush it!
Brush it good!
Littles, Episode 9, Tony Beeson. Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast and Roxy. We're
Jack.
Here with Harry Hawkins and just having such a great time. Now, you teased a story.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of started it. This was pre-podcast, right? This is probably ESPN Radio?
Yeah, this was in the ESPN radio days. So
okay.
The fall after I had interned at PTI, one of the things I picked up on was the fact that everyone around the office called him TK. And on the golf course, I would call him Mr. Kornheiser.
Of course.
And never Tony, never TK, always Mr. Kornheiser. And I caddied for him, and it was him and one other member who I remember very vividly and a few others who I don't. The faces are a little bit fuzzy. But it was a fall afternoon after I'd finished my internship. And I went out and I called him TK because that was now the name that I knew him by, right? Our relationship had regressed a little bit past, you know, caddy and golfer and, you know, kind of towards colleagues when I was an intern on the show. And so I started calling him TK. And one of the members kept giving me a weird look, like, why are you calling him that? It doesn't really make sense. And on like the 15th hole, I called him TK. And the story that Tony told on the radio was that the member came up to him on the 16th tee and was like, Tony, why is this caddy calling you TK? Like, nobody calls you TK. Why isn't he calling you Mr. Kornheiser? And Tony told the story on the radio. And he said, you know, well, I said to the guy, He was a Cliffy, so he can call me TK. Like, everyone who's a Cliffy calls me TK. It's fine. It's not a big deal. And at that point, I was interning, and it was before podcasts, like you guys said, really had taken off. So I wasn't listening to the show because it was 10 a.m. on a Monday, and I was working. And I immediately got an email from a mentor of mine in D.C. It was one of those classic, kind of like a group message, right? It was one emailer to five different people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, my God, Harry, you just got called out by Tony on the show. And so, of course, I panic and go to, you know, ESPNradio.com and find the segment and listen back to it. And my face turned the color of marinara sauce. I was mortified listening back to this thing because I felt that I had done something wrong
Oh, no.
or I had messed up or whatever. And I saw Tony like 3 days later at the golf course. And I was like, you know, hey, Tony, like, sorry, didn't mean to, you know, do something. And he was like, ah, nah, don't worry about it. Like, this is fine. Like, you're a Cliffy. It's not a big deal. So I was just very touched that he told the story. And I just thought it was funny that there was a period of time where I couldn't listen to the radio in the moment. So I kind of had to ad lib when I was realizing what was going on. And yes, it's still a story that we joke about when I go back to D.C. and see him.
Now, where are you located now?
I live in Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh, you are up there. Okay.
Yeah.
But you work for ESPN, right?
Yeah, I do. So I'm a producer and director of features for ESPN. So my primary sports are football, college and NFL, and golf. So I, you know, do everything from a Patrick Mahomes convo or a Russell Wilson convo. I did a story last summer about a professional golfer who has muscular dystrophy and has used some very unique methods to try and heal his muscular dystrophy in the Costa Rican jungles.
All right. And real quick, before we get to our fun, dumb questions, we always like to do this, especially because, you know, obviously you spent a lot of time in D.C., but you're up in Hartford now. So where does your fandom lie? And like, do you have a favorite sport?
I do. So my fandom is kind of all over the place, to be honest. It's really inconsistent. So when I was growing up, the Washington football team was very bad. I grew up, you know, I was born during the year of the last Super Bowl.
Oh,
so
okay.
I have no memories of the glory days of the Washington football team.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents are not football fans. So I was not raised in a football-centric household at all. So my first loves were baseball and hockey.
Okay.
Like I am a diehard, born and bred Capitals fan. Like the night they won the Stanley Cup, I cried for like an hour.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But not a basketball fan. Like, okay. You know, I watched the tournament and watched the NBA playoffs like anyone else, but was never really a Wizards fan. And I'm actually a Mets fan. This is a funny story. My grandmother, my dad was raised in New York, and his mother was a diehard Brooklyn Dodgers fan growing up on Long Island.
Mm.
And when the Dodgers moved, she was very upset, did not stay a Dodgers fan, and became a Mets fan when they were founded in 1962. And when I was 6 years old, I had finished my first week at baseball camp, and I had gotten a Baltimore Orioles hat at baseball camp. And I wore it into my grandparents' house, and she ripped the hat off of my head, walked out back to the dock that overlooked the lagoon on which she and my grandfather lived, threw it into the water, came back inside, and said, "In this house, we root for the Mets." So I became a Mets fan when I was 6 years old and have very vivid memories of sitting in front of her 14-inch TV in the kitchen watching Gary Thorne call Mets games all throughout my childhood.
Wow.
So Capitals, Mets, football, just given that I cover it professionally, I don't really have a team that I root for vividly.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was in high school, all my friends were Patriots fans, so I would root against the Patriots just to annoy them.
Yep.
And yeah, not really a basketball fan. I mean, golf is my other big sport, and I'm a devout Rory McIlroy fan.
Nice.
Oh, great.
Nice.
So those are pretty much my big three.
Excellent.
Cool.
All right. Well, Harry, we can't thank you enough. This has been so great, you know, especially hearing the TK stories. I guess I'm not supposed to say TK, but Mr. Kornheiser's stories.
You're in the club, Chuck. You can call him whatever you want.
Oh, you know, I've asked that question before. Like, what's the age cutoff to be a Cliffy? Because I'm at that point where I'm like, you know, when we're in between shows, I got nothing going on. I'm like, I'll go down.
Yep.
I would love to, you know, intern for PTI.
Yep.
I think that'd be so much fun. They, of course, would be like, who's this psycho? But,
right.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it'd be a good time. You know, you got nothing going on.
Hey, Chuck,
why not?
You never know.
Yeah, you never know. It's been crazier stuff. But we have some fun, dumb questions for you. We hope that's okay.
Yes, let's
all
do
right.
it.
All right. Roxy, start us off.
All right. What fictional character do you wish you could meet?
Gus Fring from Breaking Bad.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's one that's not on our radar, unfortunately.
I know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then let me give you a better answer.
Oh, no, that's...
I want you guys...
Well, no, it's your answer.
Yeah, let me give you guys a better answer.
Oh, that's...
Okay, all right.
Air Bud.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay. Chuck, do you know what Air Bud is?
I sort of do, yes. That's the dog,
this is
right?
our generation. Is that, yeah.
Yeah, that's the dog, right? Okay. Well, let's go back to Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad is
our listeners.
A great answer. We haven't seen it, but we've been told we need to.
Now, that was on like HBO or Max or something, right?
It was on AMC.
AMC, okay. Yeah.
And now it's on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, we got Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay.
We could binge it.
Mm-hmm. We might have to Yeah. How many seasons is that? That's a lot of seasons, though, right?
Yeah, so Breaking Bad is 5 seasons and I think 65 episodes.
Okay.
Oh, that's not too bad.
It's doable.
The prequel series, Better Call Saul, is, I think, pretty much the exact same length.
I see. I did not realize. I watched a couple episodes of that because someone said how good that was. And but Roxy was sleeping. Anyway, so we watch so much TV.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah. We'll have to keep that on the list, though.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you're saying we can watch Breaking Bad without seeing
Better? Yes. I think that watching Better Call Saul after you see Breaking Bad is better.
Oh.
Because they produced and directed and wrote Better Call Saul to, like, include Easter eggs about Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So, like, I would actually probably recommend you watch Breaking Bad before you watch Better Call Saul.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. How about this? What's the one movie you love so much that you know you'll be best friends with another person just by them loving it as well?
This is very niche. It's a movie called Margin Call.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
You guys ever heard of it?
I feel like I've heard of it.
No.
Does it have anything to do with stocks?
Yes.
Okay.
It's about the first 24 hours at an investment bank during the financial crisis in 2008.
Oh, interesting.
So it's Penn Badgley, Zachary Quinto, Demi Moore, Jeremy Irons, Kevin Spacey, Paul Bettany. It's a phenomenal, I mean, this was obviously before Mr. Spacey's legal issues. So now that I say this answer, it's probably not a great answer.
No, you know what? Seriously, we've gone down that road many times.
Okay.
If the movie's good, the movie's good.
I mean,
you know?
I appreciate you saying that and I get it and I know what you're saying. It's like Bill Cosby, same thing, you know, but the Cosby Show was a good show.
Yeah.
You know,
and everyone else, a part of it deserves to still.
Know. Yeah. Be acknowledged. Yeah. I was going to say, even before you said his name, I was like, that's a great cast.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know,
it's low budget. Uh-huh. Like obviously it's one of those movies where 90% of the budget went to the actors, right? There's no special effects. There's no fancy sets. It's just beautiful dialogue and beautiful cinematography.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of movie that I really like.
Yeah. And it's funny because I made her watch American Beauty, which she absolutely hated. But we watched 21 the night before we got to actually interview Jeff Ma.
Yeah. Right.
So I was like, you have to see this. And even though it's got this guy in it, you know, I like the movie. I thought it was a good movie. So anyway. All right, Roxy, what's next?
All right. Who would play you in a movie of your life?
I've been told that I look a lot like Ed Sheeran, so I'm going to go with Ed Sheeran.
All right.
Oh, all right. Nice. Excellent. All right. How about if you could host a game show, what would it be?
Oh, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Without question. No, I watched a lot of that show growing up, and I used to get so mad. Like, I remember there was one night where the million-dollar question was, what was the name of the ship that ignored the Titanic's distress calls? And I'm an absolute history nerd, and the guy got it wrong, and I was apoplectic because I knew the answer. So I would say Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, probably.
All right, now I need to. It's not the Californian, right?
Is the Californian.
Oh, it is.
Very good.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
Very good.
Wow. I just know that was one of the ships out there that just didn't get there in time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I did the national tour of Titanic. That's the only reason I know that. Okay. Go ahead, Roxy.
Okay, so since you like history, if you could have dinner with anyone from history, who would it be?
Anyone from history? Probably Eisenhower, Dwight Eisenhower.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just one of the first biographies I ever read, you know, a guy who, you know, succeeded in every possible walk of life and, you know, grew up in a farmhouse in Kansas and became the president of the United States and Supreme Allied Commander. Just, you know, a man who I admire, who I've read a lot about, and that's a very nerdy answer, but he's probably at the top of the list.
You know, it's funny, 85% of the answers are always presidents.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame you didn't write a musical about him back when you read the biography, but other than that, you know, you got that going for you. All right, let's end stupid. How about if you could shoot one condiment out of your finger, what would it be?
Chick-fil-A sauce.
All right. Yeah, that's a good answer.
Need an unlimited supply of that.
Wait, you think that's a smart question, Rob? So let's end with a dumb question.
No, I know. I just said let's go.
We're fun and dumb. They're the smart and funny podcast. We're the fun and dumb podcast.
It was just your delivery, Chuck. It made me laugh.
Wow, that's good. I'm glad I can make you laugh. All right, let's do some rapid fire.
All right, Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
Smooth or crunchy peanut butter?
Crunchy.
Cups up or down in your cupboard?
Okay, and because I think you're a millennial, I think you might get this. Boy Meets World or Saved by the Bell?
Boy Meets World.
Yeah, all right.
It just totally ruins
I mean,
last
Mr. Feeny is everything, right? I mean,
Feeny.
Thank you, Feeny call.
I've lost control of the.
Now I'm nerding out.
I mean, do you even know who Mr. Furley is?
No.
Yeah.
Right. No.
Great.
Yeah. My association with Saved by the Bell is a character. I don't even know who it is, but it's an internet meme of a kid running down the steps in a high school jacket, pointing at the camera and saying, stupid.
Okay. How about Garfield or Heathcliff?
Garfield.
And lastly, Uranus jokes. Not funny or never not funny?
Never not funny.
Excellent.
Nice.
All right. Well, Harry, we can't thank you enough for coming on to Meet the Littles. This has been fantastic. Now, plug anything you want, and how can people get in touch with you if you want to be gotten in touch with?
Oh, boy. No, nothing I want to plug. I would just say,
well,
no,
you just watch ESPN,
keep,
right?
Yeah, please keep watching ESPN.
I mean, we're reading about Sports Illustrated here. Come on, man.
Yeah.
I'm setting you up. Come on.
Please keep watching ESPN coverage of the Masters in 2 weeks. You will see lots of my and my colleagues' work all over the airwaves for ESPN's coverage of the Masters. My Twitter, my X, my Facebook, my LinkedIn, everything is just my name, Harry Hawkins, Harry, Hawkins, the scientist, but with an S. That's
excellent.
Me.
All right. Well, thanks again for coming on the Loyal Littles podcast. And as an homage to the big show, we'll get you out of here on this.
Over or under?
Over.
Excellent. Now, we talked about that off air, and you were just like, it's very bare bones basic, but I felt like you had a story or something. There's no story, though, right?
Well, no story. It's you guys are going to laugh. I used to not notice.
Okay.
And then listening to the podcast, I started to notice and decided I was an over person.
All right, great.
Oh,
so we do influence the listeners, Roxy.
Go.
This is great. Okay.
I love that.
It's funny because I said the same thing because I honestly don't remember because I lived in hotel rooms for literally the first 25 years right out of college of my life. So I didn't have my own place. So I just think, and I've heard this, other people have said this, that they think hotels always do over so they can do the little fold thing so you know that they cleaned the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they fold it like
a triangle.
Like a triangle or something like that fancy.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's where I guess I came. I don't know. Because no, I go back now and I sit here and think to when I grew up and I can't remember.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I have no idea. Anyway, Harry, thank you so much for indulging us. Thank you for coming on to get your Chuck and Roxy number.
And thanks for giving a Feeny call. That was amazing.
Yeah, that was pretty great for her. You should have seen her face. Yeah. So.
Of course. Thank you, guys.
Oh, the pleasure was ours. All right, all you loyal listeners.
We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Frank Lynch from Park City, and I am listening to the Loyal Littles podcast on the WTFC Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles podcast, and thank you, Harry Hawkins, for coming on to Meet the Littles. Good time as always. Now, Roxy, we got a lot of announcements and stuff. What do we call that? Business?
Business.
I call it something else. I can't think of it off the top of my head, but yeah, we got business.
We've
got things to announce. Okay, the first one is we want to make sure we get it out there again. Little Palooza. First week of June, June 7th, 8th, and 9th?
I believe so, yes.
And you can find all that information. Go to our website.
LoyalLittlesPod.com.
There's a link at the top, a little thing you can click, and then it says join. And you just click on that, and it'll take you all to the events where you can RSVP, which people are getting a little antsy about us not RSVPing. We just don't know. We don't know.
We have to figure it out.
Well, yeah, I mean.
And I know soon.
I don't want to tell people we're doing events and then back at bail, you know, especially ones that cost money, you know, obviously. Because I will say that I know Dina's given us an update occasionally. I guess the first block of tickets for the Nationals game is gone.
Yeah.
Gone. But Littles, not too late to join in the fun. They have now already got the row right behind the row they already had.
Yep.
And they're starting to fill that up.
Great.
So all the information's on the website, but the easiest way to access their website is just to go through our website since it's all right there in one spot.
Mm-hmm.
And while you're there, stop by and sign our guest book.
Yeah.
All right. So there's that. Then we also wanted to bring to everyone's attention again the Chris Campbell GoFundMe.
Yep.
Very important. Episode 259.
Yep.
They could still use some help over there. We'll try to post that link in our show notes just so you can click on it and go directly there.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Littles, every little bit helps.
Yep.
Every little bit helps. Even 5 and 11, any little bit helps. And speaking of that, we thought this was clever. And I just wanted to say thank you, Lee Gordon, for using the code.
Episode 80.
Using the code LLPOD over on Venmo.
Yep.
gave us a one-time donation. We really appreciate it. And mm-hmm. we're just going to say everyone's trying to get funny now.
I know.
First it was 5 and 11, then it was 9 and 20. Now
there's
let's just
some
say
addition
there
involved.
Was some math involved.
Uh-huh.
And that was really sweet.
Yeah.
So that was really sweet.
Yeah.
So thank you, Lee Gordon. I mean, he does so much for us.
Yes,
you know,
we
with all these great
it.
Voiceovers mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Yep.
We're going to maybe do a Christmas in July episode or something.
Yes, we need to do that.
You know, if mm-hmm. Lee's
maybe
the one,
Santa's available.
He has some connections with Santa yeah. in the off season, I think. I'm
yep.
not sure. We'll have to double check.
Yeah.
Next, we got a correction. We heard from Ritz.
Hey, Chuck and Roxy, it's Ritz. The Hebrew word you were struggling with on the last episode is correctly pronounced afikomen, which is the broken matzah that children try to find during the Passover Seder. This Hebrew moment was brought to you by Streitz Matzah. People prefer Streitz for the unleavened experience of a lifetime.
Not a sponsor. All right, then the real business. The real business, the real business.
Okay.
Bracket challenge.
Yeah.
Okay, Loyal Littles Podcast bracket challenge
yeah.
to be exact. Let's do an update this time because we didn't do it last time of the people who actually know what they're doing. We don't. The NCAA Men's Loyal Littles Podcast Tournament Challenge, okay? Mm-hmm. These are the top three people right now. Now, this could change.
Yeah, right.
Okay, this can obviously all change.
Yep.
We have in first place, Chris Byrne. You know, I was a dope. I did not write down the totals. That's okay. He's in first. Number two, Bobby Evans. There's a name I see all the time in those Facebook groups.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. that person has not, neither one of them have Chuck and Roxy numbers.
No.
So, all right, we have to get, well, speaking of them, they all don't have Chuck and Roxy numbers. Chuck's just a little bitter about that.
Yep, yep.
Because number three in third place, tied. There's a two-person tie for
okay.
third place. Jen Babish.
Oh.
And she's actually got a shot because
that's great.
I believe
that's
she
exciting.
Has Purdue going all the way.
Ah.
So that'll obviously come to
okay.
ahead this weekend.
We'll see.
Okay. And then Ben Danner.
Mm-hmm.
We've mentioned him before. He's been up there the whole time. He was one of the ones that from the get-go, he was in the top three or five or something like that. So he's still up there. So those are our top three. Okay.
All right.
For the first, second, and third. All right. Then the moment you've all been waiting for, our final four. Bracket names.
Mm.
Final four.
Mm-hmm.
Bracket names. Okay. This is what we got in random order. Mr. Roper's Crunchy Peanut Butter Cups down.
Okay.
All right.
Then we've got Smashy Von Sausage.
Smashy Von Sausage. We don't know why we like that one. It was a big hit with obviously the third wheels.
Yep. Yep.
And it's made it to our final four.
Final four.
Then we have Haven't Watched One Game. Haven't watched one game. And then last but not least, again in random order, one of Roxy's favorites.
Totally Not Ritz. Wink.
Totally Not Ritz. Wink makes the final four. So those are our final four bracket names. Our next episode, we will narrow it down to the final two, and
yep.
then we will get you our winner.
Yep.
And then the whole tournament will be over by then, which is
yeah,
perfect. So we matched it up perfectly. I would like to say, because this one made the big show, someone wrote in and said Jeff Maquette
mm-hmm.
was one of the
that
favorites.
That was a good one. I liked that too.
Maybe you voted for it too, but it didn't. Then all the other third wheels. So whoever that is,
yeah.
you can blame them.
Or no, it might have been an honorable mention for me.
Oh, maybe. That was one of my favorites
but
personally,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't even make the,
yeah.
I think it made the Sweet 16. I don't
yeah,
think
it did.
It didn't make the Big 8.
Right.
So, or Elite 8, excuse me. So anyway, that's all right. But someone wrote in on the big show an email saying, I don't know if it was their favorites,
mm-hmm.
I think, or something like that. But anyway, I heard that name. I was like, oh, I
yeah,
perked right up. I was
yeah.
like, oh, that's a good one. So
yeah.
anyway. All right, Roxy, before we get to our emails, we have some TV to discuss.
Okay.
Okay, real quick. Because Bachelor's over.
It's over.
It's over.
He's engaged. He's engaged.
For the next day or two.
No, hopefully for a while. They seem really good together.
Okay.
Like from the beginning.
No, full disclosure, I watched the final episode. I don't remember why. I just knew within 5 minutes of that episode, I was like, I know which one I want to win.
Yeah,
and
right.
And luckily she won.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. I feel bad saying why. I tried to think, if you had that voice,
mm-hmm.
if I would have been able to put up with you enough to say what
What's interesting, you call me out when my voice
you
goes
do
into
it.
That.
What is it called? There's a term for it. Yeah. Because it's really annoying to some people. Well, this
It's one, like,
when you waggle and cuck like that. Yeah, it's that. So this one girl, what was her name?
Daisy.
Daisy talked the whole time like that.
Yeah, but what was interesting was when they brought her out for after the final rose and she did her final interview in front of the live studio audience talking back
that
on things.
I did not
you didn't see that. Her voice was completely clear and it was not that way. So I'm wondering if it was just
the recording.
I think maybe it was the environment that
you're in
these intimate close quarter spaces where you don't want to be necessarily shouting or projecting necessarily because other people might hear. So maybe it was you know, the tone of where the filming was happening.
There was no support. Interesting.
Yeah.
No, that's a good point because it could be the recording. It could be also tired.
Yes. You know,
we see
the glamorous side of,
we see the glamorous side of the show. The edit.
Sure.
You know, I'm sure
there's so much more involved.
Yeah, I'm sure they probably some nights get like 3 hours of sleep.
Right.
You know, because you're just so worried about things. Yeah. Or, am I going to get the date tomorrow? Am I going to get the one-on-one and stuff like that? All these things that they do.
Right.
So I could see it's kind of like Survivor where there's probably hardly any sleep, even though, you know, what we see is they live in this mansion and it's glorious and all this stuff.
Right.
So the stress alone, maybe. But man, let me tell you, Littles, within like literally 30 seconds, the episode started. I'm like, well, I know who I would I know because I didn't watch the other. I watched a couple episodes in the beginning and then didn't watch the show. Mm-hmm. And then I watched the finale with you.
Now, what's also interesting is Daisy was a front runner from the very beginning. I really liked her for a while. I thought that she was going to win. But then as things progressed and you saw his relationship with Kelsey, who was the woman that he chose to propose to, you kind of saw a shift even in him. Like, I think for a while he thought it was Daisy as well. But then something shifted. And you could just tell. And Daisy knew. Her instincts, she had some killer instincts.
And
with
did you like the twist at the end this year?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, my jaw was on the floor. My jaw hasn't been on the floor.
It wasn't that big of a deal, really.
No, but it's never happened in the history of the franchise where one woman goes to the other woman and says...
Spoiler alert, so hit pause and fast forward if you don't... But I mean, it's been out. That's why we waited. We waited a week and so we could talk about it.
Goes to her and says, I am not the one. You are the one. I am bowing out. And then to show, so they have this glorious, like in front of a beach, like beautiful outdoor setting.
That's where he proposes
and he breaks up with the one and then proposes to the other and hands her the final rose and all of that. But this was the first time in history that both women or both contestants
traveled over together.
Usually it's this big like, who's going to step out of the limo who's going to step out
because he
first
always
car.
Breaks up with the one first, then proposes.
Then proposes, which makes sense.
But the ladies or the gentlemen don't know if they're first or not.
No, they don't.
They just know they're going over.
They don't have a speech prepared to say, I love you, I love you, I love you. Yep. Oh, you don't love me. Oh, F. Okay, I'm gone.
So
bye.
All of a sudden they show the camera shot of the two riding over in the limo together and Roxy was like, and I was like, wait, what? What's the big deal?
I was beside myself.
Okay.
That was, I mean, honestly, I think this was the best season I have ever watched.
Really?
There's one other bachelor who I really love and I follow him and his wife who he proposed to on the show. They got married from meeting on the show. They're the only other couple that I am completely like, yes, this is perfection right here. But I have to say, I think this season was even better than that one.
Okay.
I thought
Joey
was fantastic as a bachelor. You did not like him. You were like, he's a punk.
I'm
like,
To be fair, I didn't like him on The Bachelorette. Mm-hmm. That's when I didn't like him from the get-go. Because I watched the first couple episodes, he was a punk. Now you said he turned out to be this great guy, which again, I can't comment fairly because I did not watch the progression of the show.
Yeah.
So I can't really comment.
Yeah.
And then so at the end, I was just like, oh, he's still in it. And then he didn't end up winning. So which is how he became the Bachelor.
Right. And then first episode, you were like, this schmuck?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
I just didn't like him. Fine. Okay. You have that's fine.
He was great.
The other key to this is Miss Groggly voice.
Uh-huh.
She's not the next Bachelorette.
She's not the next
Bachelorette. Now, you said they don't always do that?
They don't always do
that. But usually loser becomes the next.
It's usually the runner-up or someone, or like the third runner-up.
Right.
You know, there was one other contestant. She was in the final four, so she got to have a hometown date with him, but then she got sent home after that. Her name was Maria. She's from Canada. She was another huge front runner for the potential Bachelorette
season. So who is the Bachelorette?
I think she was in the final six.
But she was on this last season?
Yes.
Oh, and, okay. I didn't even know that.
And
I wish they would find someone brand new. Like someone, I know that's probably not
good
for ratings.
They've done that before. They did that before. A few years ago, they had Matt James. He was the first African-American Bachelor. And I mean, he did a okay job. He's still with the woman that he chose at the end. There were some rocky roads there. But no, actually, they're also making history again with this next Bachelorette season, because Jen is the first Asian American Bachelorette to be the lead. So, I mean, it's a big deal. And, you know, it's exciting for her. I do like her a lot. I think she's going to be fun. Her first interview as the Bachelorette, when they brought her out and announced her, was a little like, oh, okay, does she know what she's getting herself into? I don't know, but it'll be interesting to watch. I did like her on this season, so.
Okay, good, good. All right, that's your Bachelorette?
Bachelor recap.
I always forget which one is which. Survivor real quick. We hated it, or I hated it. The last few weeks, though, have been, it's picked up a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
That's all we're going to say. We won't go too much more.
I am enjoying The Amazing Race, too.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, we're kind of really enjoying, except for the last 10 minutes, I'd say, or so of every episode, the Deal or No Deal Island. We're really enjoying that.
It's fun to see Boston Rob trying to be his Boston Rob self in a non-Survivor. Yes.
Boston Rob from Survivor fame. Yep. He was on like 4 seasons of Survivor. Mm-hmm. He's on this show, and he's always one of my favorites for obvious reasons.
Of course.
But yeah, no, we're just, if you're a Deal or No Deal fan, the end of the show doesn't quite make sense. When they actually play the game of Deal or No Deal, it doesn't make sense.
You're having a really hard time.
I am, because the math doesn't math up. That's a term. No, because it just doesn't make sense. Because you're, in my opinion, you should be going in a different direction, because you want to stay in the show as long as you can so you can be the final person to play for the big money.
Yeah.
Now, the idea of Deal or No Deal, though, is to get as much money from the banker as you can.
Right.
But that's not always the best way to go, because then you get voted out.
Right.
And if so the rest of the people get to, but I wouldn't play that way. I'd be like, screw the other people.
I know. If you make a bad deal, then you're out.
You're
out. If you make a good deal, then you stay in the game and you send somebody home.
Right.
But you also want to try to put money in the pot at the end.
Right, exactly. But there's already over $2 million in that pot, so who cares?
People are greedy, Chuck.
Yeah, it's crazy. But anyway, so those are our reality TV segment for the, why don't we get to some email? What do you say?
All right, let's do it.
But first, because there may be times when you think you've lost your mind, and the steps you're taking leave you 3-4 steps behind. But the road you're walking might be long sometimes. You just keep on stepping and you'll be just fine. Ease on down the road.
Yeah, come on now.
From The Wiz, in previews now. Heading to Broadway soon. Mm-hmm. One of our bowling mates. Oh, we didn't do a bowling summit. Well, it's tonight.
Yeah.
So we had a good week last week.
We did.
We talked about that already.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, on the last episode.
Yeah.
So, bowling segment next time.
Yes.
Big episode next time, by the way. Mm. What's it called? The Eclipse?
Yes. Just
the Eclipse. Big Eclipse episode. I'm glad we brought it up, because we're probably going to drop on Sunday, the day before.
Right.
Okay? So big Eclipse episode. We'll have our bowling segment, all that stuff.
Yep.
But one of our bowling mates is in he plays trombone in the orchestra for The Wiz. So anyway, let's get to the email. Dear Choxy, so glad to hear my friend Steve Dawson, who I had lunch with earlier this week. Nice name drop.
Nice.
Finally get his Chuck and Roxy number. What a great episode. Although I was surprised his Reginald jingle that was played for the last few weeks of the season on the big show didn't get discussed.
Oh.
All right. Chuck dropped the ball there.
You know.
Steve is a good dude and his band plays fabulous music. I'll be attending the Virginia Coalition's show with the Pat McGee Band at Wolf Trap on July 7th, as we mentioned earlier. If there are any other littles going, please get in touch with me. We'll be sitting on the lawn, and I'd love to get a group together. Yeah, let's turn that into a littles event.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Month after Little Palooza event. He said, for those who haven't been to Wolf Trap, while no food and only water is allowed in the seating pavilion, you can actually bring your own food and drink, including alcohol, to the lawn. Now we're talking. Now we're in trouble.
That's the spot.
All right. No need to pay outrageous venue prices. Sitting on the Wolf Trap lawn, having a picnic, and listening to the great music is one of my favorite summer activities. So if you're on the fence, come join us. Best, Bobby Gottfried, episode 12. You know, obviously, we'll get you in touch if you can't find each other on X or wherever.
Yep.
You know, Facebook, stuff. He's on definitely on Facebook and yeah. stuff like that. So make sure you reach out. Yeah, let's get a group together for the big event on July 7th mm-hmm. at Wolf Trap.
Yeah.
So, all right, what's next, Roxy?
All right, we heard from Mike Wolf, episode TBD. Happy April Fool's Day, Chuck and Roxy. For now, I'm having a pretty good tournament. My bracket is in 16th place, and my bracket name is in the top 8. Woohoo!
Ooh.
Nice.
Yeah, that's one thing I did. I left names off.
Yeah,
so we
yeah.
didn't know
right.
whose bracket name is who.
Right.
Yeah.
I know you're going to get at least 6 or 8 Ghostbusters emails, but I'm going to try to give you the most complete filmography for the series. The precursor to the series was the 1946 film Spookbusters.
Okay, wait, we're going way back.
Starring the Bowery Boys, which was made under the working title Ghostbusters. They also made the movie Ghost Chasers in 1951. Then, of course, was the well-known 1984 Ghostbusters and its 1989 sequel Ghostbusters 2.
Right.
Right. Then there was the 2016 DeStaff version, which did have cameos from most of the original cast as different characters. You did not mention 2021's Ghostbusters Afterlife, which introduced the family of Harold Ramis' character as a new team of Ghostbusters, plus most of the original cast returning as their original characters, plus Paul Rudd. Which brings us to Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, now in theaters, the follow-up to Ghostbusters Afterlife, but which could be considered the fourth in the series. The first of two different movies released this month with the word Empire in the title and a monster that freezes people. There was also a cartoon show on TV, The Real Ghostbusters.
I remember that.
Not yeah. to be confused with the other unrelated TV cartoon Filmation's Ghostbusters. And finally, Chuck, you say you would never date a woman from Cats. It's a good thing Travis Kelce doesn't have that policy. Mike Wolf, episode TBD.
Wait, is he saying Taylor Swift was in a production of Cats?
Yeah, the movie. Wasn't she in the movie?
Oh, you mean that new movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't pay attention to that. That was, God. Really? She was?
I think so.
Oh my God, I wouldn't
yeah,
go anywhere near
sure.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, no, I never saw the Broadway show because it scared me as a child.
Well, I have it on VHS to this day, the Broadway Cats.
Right.
Way back, I'm talking like 98 it
yeah,
came out,
yeah, right, no,
like that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's yeah. what I'm talking
wow.
about. They had that commercial and it freaked me out
she
as a
was
kid.
In that
so
movie?
I am.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, look, I didn't see it, so I guess I shouldn't be going, ugh. But I heard a lot of people didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was something else in there, I'm picking this email back up, because it's something about 2016. There was a 2016 DeStaff version, which... had the I don't know what that is. So anyway, we'll figure this all out, but we got to see it. I think point of the story is, Roxy, we have a movie to see before we go to the movies to see this other one, I think.
Yes.
Okay, all right. And we haven't seen Ghostbusters 2. We can get on streaming here.
Oh, that one.
I don't remember that
at
all.
That one was the one with all the women. With
No. Ghostbusters 2. It came out like in 89.
No, the other one that you were talking
about. Oh, the 2016?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. All right, okay, all right. We have time for one more. We got to get out of here. Dearest Choxy, many alarming things came out of the last episode of this fine program. Number one, Roxy has a frequent buyer's card for a liquor store. What kind of buzz do you call fuel anyway? I'm starting to see why Lewis is so stressed out all the time. Two, Chuck has so many ex-girlfriends that he can actually pull from a bunch of different numbers to find one, just one, that might have a discount at the local bodega or wherever he is pulling his scam of the day. Three, Chuck keeps all of his ex-girlfriend's numbers in that ancient phone of his. Is this why he can't upgrade the thing?
Probably.
There is no, that's so not true. There is no chance those numbers are backed up in the iCloud. Maybe there is a VHS copy somewhere, but Chuck is apparently hedging his bets here or using these poor people to pull scams. Four, Chuck doesn't even know Roxy's number? I can see
yeah.
it now. Chuck gets bonked on the head in some Broadway softball league brawl against Lion King.
Mm-hmm.
He loses his memory. Someone asks him to call his significant other, and he rattles off some number of a girl he met in Boise in 1995 while on tour with Starlight Express. That's clever, but I have played Boise many times.
Yeah.
That's where the library is.
Okay.
If you know, you know.
Okay.
Anyway, it wasn't Starlight Express, though. Nonsense 2, the
uh-huh,
sequel.
Uh-huh, even better.
Five, for the life of me, I can't figure out why Tiny Chuck adds years to his birthday. What am I missing here? Tiny Chuck, write us in.
Yep.
Number six, Chuck has got to tone it down with the in-laws listening, or at least do the segment with a British accent and call yourself Simon. Episode 178, ABTAHS, we will not do better the next time unless Roxy wipes Chuck's phone of his entire sordid past.
That's great.
Hands off my phone, Roxy. I'm just kidding.
Listen, I have an immense amount of trust, Chuck.
Just for the record, Roxy has a past, too. You know, let's not like...
Barely, but yeah, sort of, I guess.
But there is a past. I'm just saying. There is a past. Anyway, we got to get out of here.
Yeah, let's go.
Right, let's get out of here. Roxy, tell everyone how they can get in touch with us.
Go to our website, loyallittlespod.com. Everything you need is over there. And don't forget to check out the Little Palooza tab and the guestbook tab and all of the tabs.
All the tabs. Check out all the tabs. And remember, if you do listen to us on Apple and iTunes, please, please, please give us a nice rate and review over there. It does matter. It does matter. Roxy, if they need a book, where can they go?
Go to aaronsbooks.com.
And don't forget, if you are shopping online tonight, especially at aaronsbooks.com, make sure in the comments section, don't forget to
use the code, people.
Bye.
These four walls I no longer fit in. A hammer will fall on these habits I'm breaking. Shock my senses and blow my mind. Watch me come alive. I surrender, I surrender. Cause even the darkest night.
Littles Podcast is produced by the WTFC Podcast Network and edited by Louis B. Crocco. And the Loyal Littles Podcast logo is designed and drawn by Eric Lonergan.
It's like, ah, nah.
Oh, yeah.